Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We've had a lot of viewer questions come in, so today we are going to address and answer your questions. Pastor Brock, First question, I am a Catholic. I'm impressed with the brilliance of your knowledge you possess after years of study.
Thank you.
I also like it when you answer some of Mona's questions with, we don't know. My question is, in my part of North Dakota, there are many Lutheran churches honoring certain saints, like St. John's Lutheran, St. Andrew's Lutheran, St. Matthew's, St. Paul's Lutheran. But why is there so few, if any, honoring Mary, the mother of our Lord?
I think there are a few St. Mary's Lutheran Church. So why don't we have more of that in the Lutheran Church? It might be, I'm guessing here, because we don't quite believe in Mary the same way Catholics do. I believe Mary is the mother of God. Jesus is God, and Mary's his human mother, so Mary, in that sense, is the mother of God. As a Lutheran, because I don't see it in the Bible, I don't think Mary was sinless. I don't think she was perfect. I see nothing in there about praying to Mary. In the Bible, when you pray, you always pray to God. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why Lutherans are a little shy of saying St. Mary's Lutheran Church. That's my guess.
Good answer.
Yeah.
God spoke the whole world into being, but when he made Adam, he used dirt. Does this have a particular meaning?
Yeah. You know, God created the world out of nothing. It's called ex nihilo. That's, I think, Latin. There are certain religions where they believe in what's called eternal dualism. Doing means that God is eternal and matter is eternal. Christians are eternal monists, one. Only God's eternal. And then out of nothing, God made the universe. Mm-hmm. That's what we believe. So why did God, instead of making Adam out of nothing, why did he choose dirt?
Mm-hmm.
And after Adam and Eve sinned, God said to him, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Maybe he made us out of dirt, because he knew, he knew ahead of time we were going to sin, so that he made us out of dirt, and because of our sin, we're going to return to dirt, as in decomposing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. A pastor I read said that the millennium is a symbolic number. We are not to take the 1,000 years literally. It just means a long time. The pastor says that the millennium is right now because Satan is bound and the gospel can be preached everywhere. Who am I to question him? But this is not what I get from reading Revelation chapter 20. I would appreciate your interpretation on the question.
Yeah. And you know, Mona, when you read the New Testament, normally it sounds like when Jesus comes down, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got Revelation chapter 20, where Jesus comes down and he reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. And then Satan's let out of his cage and does some dirtiness, and then it's really over. And so that has led, and we've got to remember, the book of Revelation is a vision. It's not to be taken super literally. There is symbolic stuff in Revelation especially. All right, so how do we, well, there are three views. There are the millennialists, which believe in the literal millennium, that Christ will return and literally reign on earth for 1,000 years. I tend to lean into that direction because of Revelation 20, mm-hmm. but other Christians smarter than me are what's called amillennialists, a meaning no, and they think it's a symbol, but it's not really going to happen. And then there are the premillennialists, that before Jesus comes down at the second coming, he's going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. And that's what this pastor is. He believes right now Jesus is reigning through the church on earth, and Satan is bound so the gospel can be preached. I don't see that. Is Jesus reigning right now on earth? I don't see that. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Those are three views of how to interpret Revelation chapter 20. I just encourage people to read Revelation 20 yourself. Pray about it. I don't doubt that all three are committed Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
These are things we have to agree to disagree on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Read God's word.
Yeah.
When the dead are raised back to life, will people from hell also be raised?
Yes, because it says in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, there'll be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. So everybody, Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, everybody stands before God on Judgment Day. And that's why we all need Christ, because we're guilty sinners. We need his death for our salvation.
Amen. Yeah. I heard you say on your show that you didn't know the origin of Satan. Years ago, I was watching Herbert W. Armstrong, and he said Satan was actually Lucifer, the most beautiful angel created. When Lucifer decided he was equal to God and wanted to go his own way with a group of fallen angels, he became known as Satan. Your thoughts?
Yes. That's a popular view among Christians, and they think that Ezekiel chapter 28 is talking about how Satan fell. Mm-hmm. And became the devil after he was a good angel. It's a real good theory. I think it's real possible. Ezekiel chapter 20, it's talking about the king of Tyre. It's not talking about Satan. Read it. It says the king of Tyre. And so I think we got to hold that one. Satan is not eternal. Only mm-hmm. God's eternal. So did God create Satan? Well, in some way he had to. Mm-hmm. Everything is created by God. So is it a good theory that God created all these good angels and one of them rebelled and became the devil? Again, I think it's a good theory. And the Bible does talk about fallen angels. That's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But how Satan got to be Satan is not spelled out. And then I got to talk about Herbert W. Armstrong. That's a cult. Armstrongism is a cult. The Worldwide Church of God is a cult. They believe God is a family and you can join the family. They had some really strange beliefs. Mm-hmm. But the good news is, and this almost never happens, the Worldwide Church of God repented. They believe in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. They believe like you should. So a lot of people that used to, they still have an offshoot that's really bad, mm-hmm. but the only church about that I know of that went cult and came out of it is the Worldwide Church of God. But be careful. Check which Worldwide Church of God it is. And because if it's still the original, you don't want to go there.
So what happened to Armstrong?
Herbert W. Armstrong died, and then his son, Garner Ted Armstrong, took control, and now he's dead. And the church is not very big, gratefully.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
If I deny Christ, can I be forgiven of that?
Yes, Jesus said, "He who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. He who denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven." So if your life is one of denial of Christ, you will not be forgiven of that. But can you think of someone in the New Testament who denied Christ and he was forgiven?
Peter.
So if you blow it, you know what I do, Mona, often on Tuesday, I just got this in the mail this morning. Go to persecution.org, mm-hmm. get this free magazine, and it tells you all about people in Rwanda, in just horrible persecution, mm-hmm. Christians losing their lives. Now, what if one of these Christians blows it and denies Christ to save their neck, like Peter did? Mm-hmm. Can they be forgiven of that? Yes. But you know my prayer on Tuesdays, I pray for the persecuted church, and then I pray, Lord, for myself, help me die before I would deny mm-hmm. you. Help these people die before they would deny you. And so, yes, you can be forgiven for it, but if you continue in it, Peter didn't continue in that. He repented. If you continue in it, then you're in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where in the world today are people dying for Christ? And
yep. I opened, for instance, Burma. A Christian school is shelled in Burma. 40 children are abducted by militants in Nigeria. An archbishop warns about the extinction of the Christians in Iraq. 100 are killed in a Somali terror attack, Somalia. Mm-hmm. So it tends to be the Muslim areas that persecute the church the worst. Mm-hmm. But you do have Hindus and other people.
Nigeria and Turkey, I read that. Yeah. Magazine yesterday.
Yeah, everybody is called persecution.org. Just go there and send them an email saying, can I start to get the free magazine?
Magazine.
Yeah.
Good magazine.
Yeah.
Can we lose the angels on our behalf for protection?
Can we loose the angels?
Loose.
Yeah, I think he's talking about people who say, Lord, I loose the angels to come protect me on my trip. Well, the angels are ministering spirits sent out for the sake of those who are going to inherit salvation. That's from Hebrews. So yes, mm-hmm. angels are around us, they help us, etc. I get a little nervous by some of the more charismatic Christians. Lord, I loose the angels, I command them to come. Mm-hmm. I don't think we command the angels. God commands the angels. Mm-hmm. We can ask for them, but I get nervous with some of that kind of talk.
But we do have guardian angels, correct?
We have angels protecting us and guarding us, yes.
Okay, great. Another letter from a viewer. I'm writing because I've always been confused about the concept of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. I've never grasped the concept of the Trinity. I believe the three different entities are separate. After all, when we die, we must first come to Jesus and be accepted by him before we can meet God, two separate beings. And the Holy Spirit is the third entity. And Jesus didn't resurrect himself.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
Actually, there are verses that talked about God the Father resurrecting Jesus. And there are two verses in the Bible that talk about Jesus resurrecting himself. I lay down my life that I may take it up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Jesus said, destroy this temple, my body, and I will raise it up in 3 days. So here's how I would, I wrote this lady back, and here's how I would correct her.
Mm-hmm.
There are three distinct persons in the Trinity. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. But there's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father did not die on the cross. The God the Son died on the cross. So, who was Jesus praying to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Or is he praying to himself because he's God? What you've got is God the Son, who is distinct from God the Father, praying to the Father. So there's three distinct persons,
mm-hmm.
but there's one God. You don't want to say there are three gods. There's only one God. So again, the best way to explain it, and somebody said, I'll quote him again, he who doubts the Trinity will lose his salvation. He who tries to understand the Trinity will lose his mind. But just to say it, one God, in God is the Father who created the universe. He's eternal. In the Godhead is the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is eternal with the Father. And third, the Holy Spirit who lives within believers. He is God, not three gods. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And that's the doctrine of the Trinity.
Well, when we pray, who do we pray to?
Yeah. Generally, normally, you pray to God the Father, mm-hmm. but we always close in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And, however, there are prayers to Jesus. You know, when Stephen was being stoned, he looks up and he prays, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Mm-hmm. So you can pray to Jesus. You can pray to the Father. I believe you can pray to the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons, they all hear it. The norm is you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, but you can pray directly to Jesus. I believe you can pray directly to the Holy Spirit. Although a direct prayer to the Holy Spirit is, I don't even know if it's in the New Testament once.
Mm-hmm.
It's in early church tradition, but I don't think anything's wrong with saying, Holy Spirit, fill me today and help me
mm-hmm.
talk to my sister about you, stuff like that.
So as long as we pray to God and we say, in Jesus' name.
That's the way I pray.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Pastor, the church you need to follow is the Seventh-day Adventist Church that believes in the entire Bible. The Old Testament was not only for the Jews. God does not change from the beginning to eternity.
Yeah. I believe in the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What he's referring to, I believe, Seventh-day Adventists think we should keep Old Testament food laws and Old Testament Sabbath laws. So the Seventh-day Adventists insist on worshiping on Saturday, because that's when the Jews worship, not on Sunday. I believe in the entire Bible, but mm-hmm. some of that was done away with when Christ died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We're commanded in the Old Testament to kill lambs when we sin. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lamb of God, Jesus, has been crucified, so we don't have to kill lambs anymore. The food laws
mm-hmm.
that you can't eat pork. Jesus declared all foods clean mm-hmm. in Mark chapter 7. So I believe there's nothing in the New Testament that reaffirms you have to worship on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was given to the Jews to make them distinct from the nations. Nothing's wrong with worshiping on Saturday, but I think because of the resurrection of Christ happening on Sunday, if you read the book of Acts, they're starting to worship on the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what got these Jews who worshiped on Saturday to worship on Sunday? Well, the resurrection of Christ was a big deal to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it matters what day of the week. And I will say this for the Seventh-day Adventists. Gratefully, a few years ago, they decided to believe in the Trinity. There was a division on that.
Mm-hmm.
So Seventh-day Adventists believe in the Trinity. My concern for Seventh-day Adventists is some of them can be very legalistic, and you're not saved if you eat pork and if you worship on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think lots of Seventh-day Adventists know that we're saved by grace and by the cross alone and not by good works. They also don't believe in eternal hell.
Hmm.
Jesus said there's an eternal hell. So they follow a prophet by the name of Ellen White. They claim, like this guy does, to believe in all the Bible, but we don't. No, I believe in all the Bible, but I don't kill a lamb when I sin. So I'd rather people not become Seventh-day Adventists because it has some kind of cult-like beliefs, but I do believe a lot of them are Christian people. But there you go.
Okay. Pastor Brock, can you enlighten us on the various cults?
Yes. Now, this will take a while. If somebody leaves my church and they go Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Evangelical, non-denominational, as long as those are good churches, I don't get nervous. If they leave a church and they join the Jehovah's Witnesses, who deny the Trinity, the Mormons, who believe in thousands of gods, Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, they don't believe sin even exists. Hmm. So let me just, we had a little time here to do this. Let me explain. Like, Judaism is not a cult. Buddhism is not a cult because they don't claim to be Christian. I call a cult a group which says they're Christian, but which denies Christ by their doctrine. So, first of all, when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, they believe the Father is God, Jesus isn't, the Holy Spirit isn't. And then you try to explain the Trinity to them, but they've got answers for all this. And I just beg them to put down their Watchtower magazine and just read the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Read John 1. You know, in the beginning, the Word was God and became flesh. You know, so Jehovah's Witnesses also deny the eternal aspect of hell. They're what's called annihilationists, along with Seventh-day Adventists. If you die without Christ, you just get wiped out. And they, you know, I had a Jehovah's Witness that I sat down with, older man, he really was the most knowledgeable Jehovah's Witness I've ever argued with. And so I tried to, okay, now how do you, I believe we're saved by grace alone. Only what Jesus did on the cross can save us. But, finally, I'm trying to get him down. How do you think somebody is saved? Well, you're saved by doing the work of the kingdom. And I said, in other words, good works. And I said, okay, and what is the work of the kingdom? Well, you go door to door like they do in the book of Acts. So the way to heaven, according to this Jehovah's Witness, you've got to go door to door. You've got to, no wonder they're going door to door, but you've got to do the work of the kingdom. The Bible teaches we're saved by grace alone, by what Christ did, not by our good works. Mm-hmm. Our good works are the evidence we're saved, but they're not the cause. They're the result of our salvation. That's Jehovah's Witness. Now, the Mormons, when they come to your door, they believe in thousands of gods. And they believe if you're a good Mormon, you die and you become a god. And just like our God the Father, we worship him. Mm-hmm. He used to be a man on another planet who became God. If you're a good Mormon, you can become a god and have a whole planet worship you. Show me where any of this is in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So I definitely avoid Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. Another cult that's not as big as those two is called Christian Science. Mm-hmm. Mary Baker Eddy taught that sin doesn't really exist. It's a figment of your imagination. Therefore, and also sickness does not really exist. If you thought right, that's why Christian Scientists don't go to the doctor, because your sin and your sickness is really more part of your imagination. They're not real. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's no sin, why did Jesus die on the cross? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Exactly.
So stay away from Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science. I'd stay away from the New Age movement, where Jesus is your guru. And you've got the spirit guide. Your angel is your spirit. They're open to all these, and reincarnation. Mona, you need to come back many times and then finally make it. Again, reincarnation, the belief that you come back as a cow or a human and many times, and once you're good enough, you go to heaven, that's not in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews says, it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So New Age, like the Unity Church, is bad. Mm-hmm. Another church I would stay away from is the Unitarian Church. They deny the Trinity and they're hyper-liberal. So stay away from the Unity Church, the Unitarian Church, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Church of Christian Science, and Mary Baker Eddy. Those are the main ones that come to mind. Now, what's tragic? Used to be the cults were out there. Mm-hmm. Now the cults are in the Christian church. Mm-hmm. You've got, I've preached many times, ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, United Methodists, Episcopalians, the United Church of Christ. You can be now a Unitarian in your belief about the Godhead, and be a UCC pastor. That's new. I mean, it used to be, if you're going to be a congregational pastor, you have to believe in one God and three persons. Now you can deny the deity of Christ and be a pastor in the United Church of Christ. So now the cults are inside the church. Now, ELCA Lutherans, Presbyterian Church USA, they're very liberal, pro-abortion rights, pro-gay churches, but you still have to believe in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. However, the way they're messing that up, you don't necessarily have to confess the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can confess the Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, or the Mother. They're into this God the feminist, God the Mother mm-hmm. stuff. There's another way to deny the Trinity, mm-hmm. is get rid of God the Father. So when I was little, the cults were out there. Now mm-hmm. the cults are in the church, which is why if you're going to be a Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, you got to make sure you're going to a biblical branch mm-hmm. of those denominations.
Do some of these cults use the Bible and then they add all, a companion?
They almost all use the Bible, but they've always almost all got a second book. They use the Bible, but then they got the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. They use the Bible, but then they got the Watchtower magazine. So beware of a group that puts a second book way up there. Only the Bible. I mean, I'm a Lutheran, sola scriptura. Only the Bible is our final authority, not Mary Baker Eddy and her book of divine, interpretation of, anyway, she's got a book that's very big in mm-hmm. the Christian Science Church.
Doesn't it say
the key to the key to scripture and science, something like that?
Doesn't it say in the Bible, is it Hebrews, where if you are given, even if an angel should come down and give you something else, let him be accursed?
That's Galatians. Yeah.
Galatians, and he repeats it twice.
He does. That's Galatians chapter 1. If somebody preaches you a gospel contrary to the to what I preached to you, said Paul, let him be accursed, which means let him go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So beware of groups that say they're Christian, but they preach that something other than Christ's death and resurrection save us.
So we have to know the Word. We have to read the Word. That's
absolutely
the only way we're going to know it.
Absolutely. Because the cults all use the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yep.
Here's another question. Do we still have demons on earth today like they did in Jesus' time?
We do. And especially, missionaries have stories where they're in pagan areas where there's a lot of demonic activity. In America, the way we've opened the door to abortion, mm-hmm. homosexuality, premarital sex, pornography, the producer of pornography worldwide is California.
Hmm.
I mean, we are polluting the planet by all the pornography. So I think there are demons all over the place in America. We might not see them, but they're there.
Do you think demonic attacks are on the increase in our country now because we've turned away from the Lord?
I would guess that's true. I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
And just somebody just recently wrote me about their daughter that they're having weird stuff happen. So we have a whole TV show on this. If you go to pastorstudy.org, do a search on all of our TV shows about deliverance ministry, because we did a couple of shows on a man who has a ministry helping people mm-hmm. get rid of demons. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that now you can even get a Ouija board, I think, in pink. And there's so many shows on TV that talk about ghosts and...
Yep.
And don't
dial 1-900-PSYCHIC either. Mm-hmm. Psychics are not from the Lord. And they use Jesus. Oh, the Lord told me that your uncle is trying to contact you from the dead. The Bible forbids us to talk to the dead. So stay away from seances. That's another cult. Mm-hmm. That's part often of the cult of New Age as well, but not always.
Yeah, we're told not to deal in magic and sorcery and witchcraft.
Yep.
What are some of the recent questions that have come in?
We had two more recent ones come in, so if I could just read these. This is from a woman. Can you recommend a seminary for me? She doesn't like the liberalism either. I believe God wants me to be a pastor. And I wrote her back, oops! Because, women can do all kinds of ministries. Mm-hmm. The one thing the Bible forbids women from doing is being the preacher over adult men. Mm-hmm. So I referred her to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul the Apostle writes, I don't allow a woman to preach or to teach or exercise authority over men. So the elders of the church and the teachers over adult men in the church need to be men. That's what it says. Now, the way that a lot of denominations get around that, well, Paul was just talking to that culture. Women were not educated back then. But today, now that women are educated, women can be preachers. Look again at 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's reason. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Why? For, now he's going to give you the reason. It was not the woman who was created first, but the man was created first. It was not the man, Adam, who fell into deception, but the and so God, he talks about the way God made us. Had Paul said, I don't allow a woman to teach for they're uneducated in our culture and it wouldn't work, but he didn't say that. So the women and men's roles are not grounded in culture. They're grounded in creation, the way God made us. God made men and women different. And Paul believes, and I do too, that therefore the man should be the leader in the home. He should be the leader in the church. And again, women can do almost everything ministry-wise, but they aren't to be the preaching elders of the church.
Did she reply back to you?
Actually, she did, and she just kind of said thank you and didn't really bring it up.
Well, you're there, being honest.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And then you
I think we hit all the questions. Thanks, everybody. Woo, we get a lot of questions these days. But let's just do an update for our people. Some of you are seeing this show for the first time because we were given a lot of money when somebody died. And so we were able to take that money and go all over the country. That nest egg is going down because it's expensive to buy airtime. When you support this ministry, I've said this before, I get a very modest salary. Mona and everybody else are unpaid volunteers. So when people send us money, overwhelmingly it goes to buy airtime so we can preach the gospel. So I just ask you, pray for us, pray for our ministry that we'll be able to expand and not withdraw from these newer stations. If the Lord nudges you to support us, there's our website, pastorstudy.org, or you can our address is there too if you want to support us that way. But mainly, pray for us, because I think prayer is what moves the hand of God.
Amen.
So if you would, pray for our ministry. If you see, like maybe you have a friend who's a Mormon and they need to see this program, go to pastorstudy.org, look for the program on Mary and the Millennium, and they'll get this show. All of them are for free to watch on our website. So that is about it. Thanks for your questions and your giving. Mona, we've been doing this show since 1988, over 30 years. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Yeah.
In Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. So if you want to know God, read his word daily. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.